The MK Mental Health Hour with Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support in partnership with Thomas Connolly Estate Agents and MKFM.
Just gone 7 o'clock on your Sunday evening. Hello, it's Leah with you on another Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour. Tonight we are going to be talking about suicide, joined in the studio by John from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and Alexia, who works in the NHS as a nurse and has sadly experienced the impact of suicide firsthand. We also continue with MK's biggest hits, Kelly Rowland on the way, and now Calvin Harris is Thinking About You on MKFM. Calvin Harris, Thinking About You on MKFM. Good evening, it's Leah with you on the brand new MK Mental Health Hour. Now this is a new show on MKFM every Sunday at 7 o'clock with local organisation Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support here in Milton Keynes. And it's designed to provide a safe space for us to discuss a variety of mental health topics as well as share expert practical advice for you guys listening at home. Now, every week we're joined by John Manning, who is founder of Arthur Ellis, as well as an expert on the topic, which we'll be discussing this week. Now, this Sunday, we're going to be discussing suicide and we're going to be joined in the studio by Alexia very shortly. But before we get into that, John, good evening. Welcome back to the studio. So this is our second show for the MK Mental Health Hour.
Yes.
And if people didn't hear the first one and they haven't heard about Arthur Ellis, can you give us a bit of an insight into the work you do in the community?
Yes. So Arthur Ellis is a company that I set up, and it's all around helping people become independent from illness. So that's our little hashtag, that's a little catchphrase. And reason being is that we want to help people learn tools, techniques to not just identify mental health issues or mental illness, but the tools and strategies that they can then go away and use to recover. So we go into businesses, we go into charities, community organizations, schools as well, to teach teachers and students these techniques. And we also run a one-to-one service for anyone experiencing mental health issues in Milton Keynes.
Fantastic. And what have you guys been up to over the last week or so?
Oh, it's been busy. I was in London yesterday. I am very, very non-fancy. I'm a little guy through and through. The aftershave I wear is £4. But I went to Mayfair yesterday to a really fancy restaurant.
Posh in Mayfair.
Yeah, and I was doing a talk to the British and Irish Trade Alliance.
Wow.
And I couldn't eat breakfast because I was so,
so nervous.
So the anxiety show last week, I was talking through all of the little strategies to myself. But it went really well. And obviously it's suicide prevention week as well this week. So we've been really active on our social media, working hard towards this show. And also we've had some new referrals in for people that have required support in Milton Keynes. So we've been busy doing home visits and welcoming people into our offices to get some one-to-one support.
Fantastic. Well, you have been very, very busy. And as you mentioned, it has been National Suicide Prevention Week. It was World Suicide Prevention Day on Tuesday this week. There's been a lot of chat on social media from people like Jessie Nelson from Little Mix, who discussed her kind of battle with mental health and a suicide attempt, and a variety of people discussing suicide this week. And I suppose that is the reason for us doing this MK Mental Health Hour, is to have this safe space where we can have these open discussions. Now, suicide in Milton Keynes, what are the kind of rates in Milton Keynes? What are the stats?
Yeah, it's really difficult to find really up-to-date stats because they're not reported on a huge amount of times. But last year across Milton Keynes, there was around 15 cases of suicide, unfortunately. However, this year, between January and February, there were already 8. So we've seen quite a spike in the local area of people taking that action.
And why do you think that is?
Well, I can only speak from my own personal view.
Right.
And my own experience, because I've been suicidal in the past. Anyone who listened last week understands that I've got something called bipolar, so my moods shift and I need some support to control that. But in the past, when I didn't have that support, it was difficult to maintain my mood. So I experienced not really getting the support that I was trying to get, but also actually reaching out to get that support is so difficult personally, because it's kind of like you're admitting defeat to yourself.
Right.
You're absolutely not. It's okay to get that support, but personally, it kind of feels, I shouldn't really need to reach out about this stuff. I shouldn't be feeling this way. And it's kind of like a personal failure, which isn't right. It's not correct. But at the time, it kind of feels that way. So I think that it's rising because of that personal feeling around it, but also the impact that society has on you. And my cases were very much just being bombarded with all of the different societal issues and being surrounded by it constantly. It really, if you're in a down place anyway, it just exacerbates it, makes it worse.
Well, there might be people listening this evening that can identify with what you're saying. And hopefully throughout this next hour, we can provide some helpful kind of tips. And I know that Arthur Ellis provide a guide after each of these shows on Monday morning. Yes. Tomorrow morning, you'll be providing a bit of a guide. But we're going to run through some advice with Alexia, who works in the NHS as a nurse, and hear her story after Kelly Rowland. Now, this is When Love Takes Over on MKFM. Kelly Rowland, When Love Takes Over on MKFM. Good evening, it's Leah with you on the Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour, our second show, and this evening we are talking all about suicide. So John, we were just hearing about the great work that you do at Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support here in Milton Keynes, and you shared a bit of your story, so thank you very much for doing that. Now you've brought Alexia with you this evening. How did you meet Alexia?
Well, she's wonderful. I was actually introduced to Alexia as Arthur Ellis. We go to a self-care steering group in Milton Keynes. So we look after or we help to contribute to how Milton Keynes are taking care of themselves, essentially. And that is members of the council, the NHS, the CCG, which is the Clinical Commissioners Group. And we all get together to discuss these, you know, the way that we can move this forward. And got introduced to Alexia through that. And I began understanding a little bit more about her story, her background. And it's something that we've kind of just kept in touch ever since, really, after that meeting.
And Alexia, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us this evening. So you work in the NHS as a nurse, Alexia, but you're also somebody who has sadly experienced the impact of suicide firsthand. And that's something that we might just touch upon now. But this evening we are going to be talking about, you know, some advice and tips, and you find it really important that you want to destigmatise suicide. So firstly, can you give us a bit of an insight into your story?
Yes, of course. Good evening. So thank you very much for having me on the show. This is very personal for me. I lost my husband last year, and it's just over a year since he died very tragically, and he took his own life. It was very sudden. It was very unexpected for myself, my family, his family, and all of our friends. And because it was so unexpected, I think that... It came as such a shock to all of us that this last year has been incredibly difficult. But we're still laughing, we're still crying still, but we are getting through it, and we're getting through it with lots of support from everyone. So as I said, my husband took his life last August, actually. And I think I've made it my own mantra over this last couple of months to actually start talking about mental health and mental health issues, to start destigmatizing mental health, whether that be on a very minor level or a very major level, and also to talk about actually it happens to anybody and it can happen to anybody and it is completely and utterly random. I think also we as a society don't talk about death enough. And definitely we don't talk about suicide enough. And as a society, we're always trying to maximise and promote life. And therefore, talking about death and dark things can be very difficult to a lot of people. Mm. But as a nurse myself, I'm actually very used to talking about death, and particularly with my patients as well. And it's only by talking more and more and making it more, heightening the awareness, that we can help people through some of this. So that's why I wanted to come onto the show and be willing to tell my story, and also what's helped me and my family and our friends get through the last year.
And you were saying during that song that actually it's not something that you've
gone through, it's something that you continue to go through. Yep. And so we'll be discussing kind of ways that you kind of approach that and that you cope with that with the support around you, and we're providing some tips and advice for people. So stay right there. We're going to continue the discussion with Alexia and John from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support after Mary Mary Shackles Praise You plays for you next.
The MK Mental Health Hour with Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support.
It's Sunday evening with Leah on the MK Mental Health Hour. That is Mary Mary and Shackles Praise You on MKFM. So this evening on the Mental Health Hour, we're discussing suicide. Joined in the studio by John from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and Alexia, who works in the NHS as a nurse. So John, we're talking about suicide. Are there any signs of somebody that might be feeling suicidal? Is there anything that we should be looking out for?
Yeah, it's really difficult to say because you've got to really keep it quite broad. We don't want to sort of pin it down to one or two things that you might notice. But some of the vulnerabilities or some of the signs could be that people stop taking care of themselves. Back in my own experience, I just didn't care about hygiene or really what if I was putting myself in danger or anything like that. So if anyone is particularly vulnerable or going through a rough time, that could be something that you could notice that they don't typically do. And it's changes in character. If you know, people are like that generally, then it's less relevant. But if it's someone's character is changing in that respect, then our senses need to heighten to it really and start having that discussion with them.
Okay. And who would you say might be at risk of suicide?
Anyone,
right?
To be honest, with all of the different societal things going on, things can change so quickly. So if someone may lose their job, for example, it could come on extremely quickly for them. There are so many different factors of life that can impact it that we just need to really be aware that this stuff happens. It's real life. It is something that people are typically vulnerable to, but more vulnerabilities if they've got a mental health condition already, or if someone's going through other things within their life that may be having that sort of downward impact on them.
Okay, and Alexia, as we've said, you work in the NHS as a nurse, but you also sadly experienced the impact of suicide when your husband took his life. In your experience, you say it was a huge shock when it happened, but in hindsight, was there anything that you can kind of pinpoint that may have been a warning sign?
Yes, looking back now, there were. And I think after something like this type of event, you really do go back and scrutinise everything that went on, literally, you know, the weeks before, the months before. And hindsight is a wonderful thing, and what you would change is enormous over once you start reflecting back. So for us, my husband probably started withdrawing slightly from the family, withdrawing from social events. He did start drinking quite a lot, and that probably reflects what John has just said about not necessarily looking after yourself that well and just experiencing some slightly more risky behaviours. So looking back, that's what he did. I did try to get him to go to see our GP. He did go on two occasions that I'm aware of and then started lying about going to the GP to sort of satisfy me, to make me think he was seeking help. I now know that that wasn't necessarily true. And that was really out of behaviour for him as well. So I think people can get into this downward spiral, into this very dark place. And the family, when you're so busy working and having family life, you sort of just think, oh, they're just down today. It'll all be better tomorrow and everything will be fine. And I'm a natural optimist anyway, so I probably tend to think that way. But, you know, looking back, yes, there probably were some signs that I missed. And as his wife, I feel very guilty that I missed some of those.
Well, we're talking this evening, you've mentioned a few times that the reason you wanted to join us this evening was to destigmatise suicide. Now, what stigma have you noticed?
Well, I suppose there's the personal stigma that I put on it myself initially, after literally within, you know, in the first few weeks after he died, where when people asked me, you know, where was my husband, and I'd say he died very unexpectedly, people would say, oh gosh, what was it, a heart attack? Or because he was of that age where you would naturally think it was something like that, and I would just evade the question really and just say, oh, it was very sudden, it was a complete surprise. Because actually myself, I felt really ashamed that my husband had committed suicide, and I felt actually it reflected, potentially could reflect on me as his wife, that I actually didn't do more to keep him alive. And yet it was such a surprise to us that's irrational thinking of for me at that time.
Yeah.
So now when people ask, I absolutely say to them, yes, my husband's died and he took his own life.
And has that taken you a little while to get to that stage?
Yes, it has. It probably took me about 6 months to get to that stage, and to be able to say it without bursting into tears as well. I probably sound quite strong now. I still have my really weak moments and my very sad moments. But yes, I now openly admit that my husband committed suicide.
And with yourself and your immediate family, do you find it easier to be able to talk about it now quite openly?
Oh gosh, yes. And as a family, we've always been very open about it. And we talk about my husband all the time. And it was a conscious decision that we made as a family that we would always talk about him, always laugh and joke and keep his memory alive. It's very important for my son that we do that, and also for my husband's family and for me. So we've always done that, and we will always continue to.
And of course, this does affect kind of your wider friends pool and everything like that. We're going to talk a little bit more about that after Destiny's Child now, as Survivor on MKFM. It's Destiny's Child and Survivor on the MK Mental Health Hour. This evening, we are talking about suicide. Now, Alexia, we've been speaking about kind of how you and your immediate family felt when your husband took his own life a year ago. But we wanted to talk a little bit about the wider friend pool and the ripple effect that something like that can have. And we've been discussing off air about them not feeling like they have the right to grieve and kind of the feeling of feeling guilty. Was that the same in your case?
Yes, it definitely was. I'm very lucky that I have a very close family and a very wide supportive pool of friends who have literally just got me through the last year. And within that, I'll talk about work colleagues, because actually a lot of them are my personal friends as well. And I'd just say that work have been absolutely brilliant for me and to me, and very supportive through all of this and continue to be. I think we generally focus on the immediate family. And one of the learnings for me over this last year has been that actually there's a ripple effect across the wider network of friends, the neighbours, the work colleagues. And we tend to forget about those people and think, I think we just batten down the hatches and look after ourselves. And now, a year on, I'm thinking, and I'm still seeing some of my husband's friends who are clearly still struggling with it, and thinking, gosh, I'd forgotten about the ripple effect of this and how many other people are affected by my husband's death. An example of that is one of his very close friends, just after he died, felt that he was grieving so much he couldn't go into work. So actually, rather than saying, one of my good friends has just committed suicide, he actually gave up another excuse of he had a stomach bug or something, so couldn't go into work. And when he told me this story just recently, I said to him, you know, why couldn't you feel you could say, actually, one of my very good friends has just committed suicide? And he said, because I didn't feel it was manly to say that I was grieving, that actually I was crying for my friend. So he felt it was more appropriate in society to say that he had a stomach bug instead. And I think that really hit me, because as his wife, I could say that, but actually one of his best friends couldn't.
And that's terrible. And John, you were saying there's quite an astounding stat that kind of supports that.
Yeah. Well, I think what we were also saying off air, Alexia, was that you kind of didn't really realise that the wider pool was affected to begin with. And I sort of think that that's completely understandable, because obviously you've got the immediate stuff to deal with, and it's completely understandable that you need to get through that bit yourself before tackling the wider pool of friends and addressing all of that. So I think that that's certainly not something to be self-critical about. And even though, yeah, you're a nurse, you are a very wonderful human that saves lives and helps people. I think that there is an element of being a bit too self-critical sometimes, which is understandable again. We all do it. But yeah, within the workplace, within businesses, companies, employees, typically, if there is a mental health related issue or something related to your mental health that you just can't make it in that day, 95% of the time, it is given a different excuse to begin with. So it is given the excuse of a cough, a cold, a tummy bug, anything, so that you don't have to say that you're having a really bad day mentally, which is a huge amount. And then later on, they know this stat because later on down the line, it gets worse because you're not talking about it. So as businesses, as humans, we need to begin being honest with ourselves and with the people around us that we are experiencing this thing and we just need a little bit of time.
And you even mentioned about in America, they have things like duvet days where people can focus on their mental health and they feel comfortable enough to do that.
Yeah. They have it in some organisations here. It's quite a big thing in America, I think, but it's like mental health days, and every employee across businesses get a certain amount of days and they can utilise them as they see fit. It's sort of like a holiday, but it's dedicated to doing healthy things related to lifting your mood or something related to your mental health that's positive.
I think it sounds brilliant.
Yeah,
it sounds
good.
Absolutely
really
brilliant. Well, we're going to be speaking a little bit more with Alexia to see, you know, how she's living with all of this and all of the great things that you're doing now. You're about to do a half marathon. So we'll talk a little bit more about that after Ashanti and Rock With You, which plays next.
The MK Mental Health Hour with Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support.
It's Ashanti and Rock With You on MKFM. This is the Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour with me, Leah, and we're joined in the studio by John from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and Alexia, who works in the NHS as a nurse, but has sadly experienced the impact of suicide firsthand when her husband took his own life last year. Now, Alexia, how was the first few months for you and how have you coped since then?
So the first few months, so initially the first few weeks I have no memory of at all. It's almost as though my memory has been wiped. I don't remember the first 2 to 3 weeks after my husband took his life. Obviously my family and friends have told me bits, but I just don't remember it at all. Initially I was very numb. I was learning to wake up every morning and realizing it wasn't a nightmare, that actually it was true, that my husband had died. Obviously, I was focusing on our son as well and very much trying to help him through all of this and understand it as much as any one of us can understand. I don't think we can ever really fully understand why or what goes through people's heads when they take their own lives.
And it took you a few months before you actually reached out and got some help and support, and you received some one-to-one support?
Absolutely. So initially I wasn't prepared to talk about it. I just couldn't. And I don't think I could even comprehend talking to somebody else about it. But I did then get some one-to-one support that was great. It was very challenging. Because I needed that challenge. It was very supportive as well. I actually saw that person weekly. I could have seen them more than weekly, but I chose to see them weekly. I'm now trying to live my life by myself, but I know that I can get back to that person again whenever I need to see them, which is great, and it's nice to have that open sort of invitation and open relationship to be able to go back and talk to that person again when I need to.
Absolutely. And since then, over the last few months, you work with a charity called Mind Map. Tell us a little bit about them.
I do. So it's a charity that's set up in Bedfordshire for children with who are experiencing mental health issues, challenges. I'm a trustee, so I volunteer as a trustee there. And it's made me far more passionate about mental health. And I, you know, obviously working in the NHS, I see mental health issues on a daily basis. And now it's touched my life. I'm determined to do more around it and to elevate it and promote it.
And have you found working with the charity actually has helped you with your grief?
I suppose it has. It's probably given me another avenue to my life. It's made me feel a little more worthwhile in what I do as well, and true to my own beliefs.
And you're setting yourself lots of challenges as well. You're going to be running the half marathon very soon. How's the training going?
Yes, I am.
I said it on the radio now. You've got to do it. Got to do it. And you're raising funds for Mind Map as well. We'll make sure we put all of the details alongside the podcast for this interview, which is going to be on our website. John, we're coming back to you to find out a bit more about the suicide guide, which you're going to be publishing on your website tomorrow. Details on that after Tom Walker now. This is Just You and I on MKFM. Tom Walker, Just You and I. Good evening. It's Leah with you on the Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour discussing suicide this evening. Now, John, if anybody can relate to anything that we've been discussing and has maybe recognised signs of somebody that's feeling suicidal, how would they approach that topic?
Just ask the direct question. It's a big question, it's a difficult question, but ask it and don't overreact to the response. I think if someone is suicidal, that they need professional help straight away, so the emergency channels need to be informed. Don't keep it confidential. You can't. It's a lot on you as a burden yourself. So you need to share that, and for someone to get the right support, you need to be able to share that. The guidelines do recommend for someone who is feeling suicidal, 8 to 12 sessions of CBT, cognitive behavioural therapy, which is something that we offer within our one-to-one service. So that is just a simple online form on our website that can be filled out, and it gets sent straight through to us. And we've got a two-day turnaround for appointments. So if anyone is experiencing this, they can just feel free to reach out to us for support.
Wow. Okay, great. Thank you for that. And remind us of what your website is, John.
It's arthurellismhs.com.
And that is where you'll also be able to download a guide to this evening's interview all about suicide. That'll be available tomorrow, and we'll also include all of the details on our website, mkfm.com. John, thank you so much from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support for joining us this evening. And Alexia, thank you so much for sharing your story as
Pleasure.
Well. Thank you.
Amazing.
The MK Mental Health Hour, in partnership with Thomas Connolly Estate Agents.